Turning your Bibles tonight to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we want to begin reading at verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. Let's stop reading there and look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we ask you to help us in our study of your word tonight, that it would be a blessing to us and a help to us. We know it will if we'll just let you speak to our hearts. We commit this coming week to you. It's a very important week. It's the last week of school. The last time for some of these young people that they may hear the gospel. And we pray that you would speak to their hearts. We pray that you would bless in each of the chapel services this week in a special way. And help these young people to see their need, to trust you as their Savior. And those who are saved, we pray that you would help them to see the importance of living a life that will count one day when they stand before you. We thank you for Calvary Christian School, and we thank you for each one who has a part in the ministry. And we pray your blessings upon each staff and faculty member this week in a special way. Strengthen them and sustain them as we approach the end of the work of this year. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Beginning tonight, and depending on how the Lord might lead, we want to spend some time in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. These are important letters because the condition of the church at Corinth is very much a reflection of the condition of the church of Jesus Christ in the world today. And so that being the case, it's critical that we see ourselves and examine ourselves in this mirror of the Word of God that is the book of Corinthians. This book begins, interestingly enough, in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 18. And I'd like for you to turn there. Acts chapter 18. This is where the book of Corinthians begins. Acts chapter 18, and let's read at verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. Paul leaves Athens and he comes to Corinth. And the language here would seem to indicate that this is where he meets Aquila and Priscilla for the first time. They had come from Rome. And they had come from Rome because they'd been forced out of Rome, as we see it here, because Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome. John Gill points out that the Roman historian Suetonius makes mention of this decree of Claudius in his writings. And according to that Roman historian, Suetonius, Claudius expelled the Jews because of the constant disputing with the Christians. And what they were disputing and arguing about was Jesus being the Messiah. Claudius was a timid sort of fellow, and he didn't want anything to spoil his reign. He didn't want anything to besmirch his legacy. He's a typical politician. And so he banished the Jews from Rome. And so Aquila and Priscilla come to Corinth. And Paul was drawn to this couple. And he stayed with them because they were all tent makers. This is where we learn what Paul did for a living, how he provided for his needs. Now, when Aquila and Priscilla got saved, we don't know. We don't know if they were saved when they were in Rome. We don't know if they got saved under Paul's ministry. But what we do know is that they certainly grew in the Lord under Paul's ministry. And they were a great blessing to Paul in his work for the Lord. And as we begin our study of the book of Corinthians tonight, and as we come to the seed bed, so to speak, of that church, we want to examine for a few moments the lives of Aquila and Priscilla. This was a couple whose marriage was a blessing to the Lord. That's a rare thing. They were not only of one flesh, but they were of one mind, and that's a very rare thing. They were of one mind in their love and in their labor and in their ministry for the Lord. And that, I think we're going to see that as we look at them for a few minutes tonight, but I think it's suggested to us by something else. It's interesting, and I think it's instructive that they're never mentioned separately. They're never mentioned separately. Every time you read about them, they're mentioned together. Priscilla and Aquila. Aquila and Priscilla. What a blessing that is. To be not only united in marriage, but united in serving the Lord. It's interesting and it's instructive that they were tent makers. We've talked before that a tent in the Bible is a very important object because it speaks to us of availability. It speaks to us of being able to move in a moment's notice if that's what the Lord desires. One of the things that characterized the life of Abraham, and we've studied this on a number of occasions. But one of the things that characterized his life, and one of the things that I believe made him the friend of God, is his tent and his altar, those two things. A tent speaks to us of having no continuing city here in this world. It speaks of not having roots put down so deep in any place that we cannot move if that's what the Lord wants us to do. That's what the tent speaks of. A tent maker, I think, would be someone who is available to the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone who makes tents, someone who makes themselves available to the Lord. We see that kind of mentality in the life of Aquila and Priscilla. The circumstances of their life bring them from Rome to the city of Corinth. But even in that city, they have the tent mentality. Look at verse 11 of this chapter, Acts chapter 18 and verse 11. And he continued, that is, Paul continued there a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. You can put down some pretty serious roots in a place in a year and a half. But look at verse 18. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila. When Paul leaves Corinth, Priscilla and Aquila go with him. They go with him to Syria, and they go with him on to Ephesus. There's the tent and the tent maker attitude of heart in action. It's a heart that has an attitude of availability to the Lord, and that attitude of availability is very simple. I don't have any plans that aren't the Lord's plans. I'm attached to Him. And so if the Lord wants us to go to Syria or to Ephesus by way of Syria with Paul, then that's where we'll go. Unless we think that Priscilla and Aquila are attached to Paul, lest we think that they're attached to a man, they stay in Ephesus. That's another characteristic of the tent and the tent maker mentality. People who have that mentality are attached to the Lord and to the Lord alone. And Paul leaves them there in Ephesus. And he sails from Ephesus and he goes to Caesarea, and then he goes down to Antioch, and from there to all the churches or all the country of Galatia and Phrygia. And you know, when you read that, it's easy to have an itchy foot, so to speak. Wouldn't it have been exciting? It's exciting to go places. I guess I sort of inherited that gene from my daddy, but he always loved to go somewhere. He'd route us up sometime. He'd have a day off, and we would go. I remember he got us up one morning at 3 o'clock, and we said, "Well, Daddy, where are we going?" "We're going to Wilmington." We were living in Rock Hill, South Carolina. This is in the very early 60s, 1960s. And we were, I have to make that designation, wasn't the 1860s. We did have an automobile. We weren't in a horse and buggy. But it's a long drive from Rock Hill to Wilmington. And the reason we went is because Daddy wanted to see the battleship North Carolina. And so away we went. And it's exciting to go places. Well, wouldn't it have been exciting to go with the Apostle Paul to all the places and do the Lord's work and have a ministry, have a part in strengthening all the disciples? We see that language there at the end of verse 23. Strengthening all the disciples. Yes, that's exciting. It's exciting if that's what the Lord wants you to do. It's a disaster if that's not what the Lord wants you to do. It's a disaster if it's not the Lord's will and you're out there in the energy of the flesh doing what you want to do and doing your will in the name of the Lord, of course. But Aquila and Priscilla have the tent, and they have the tent maker mentality. And so they stay in Ephesus because that's where the Lord wants them, and He wants them there not to strengthen all the disciples like He wanted Paul to do. Not to strengthen and minister to the crowds like the Lord wanted Paul to do. He wanted Priscilla and Aquila to stay in Ephesus to minister to one man, who needed help. Look at verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. The Lord wanted Aquila and Priscilla to stay in Ephesus to minister to one man, a man by the name of Apollos. And Apollos, as we see him here, was an eloquent man. He had the ability to speak. He was mighty in the scriptures. That would have been the Old Testament scriptures. He'd been instructed in the way of the Lord. He was fervent in the spirit. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. But Apollos did all this knowing only the baptism of John. It would seem that Apollos had an understanding of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ because John taught that. He saw the Lord Jesus coming there at Jordan in John chapter 1 and verse 29, and John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John the Baptist told of the coming of the Holy Spirit. He said in Mark chapter 1 and verse 8, "I indeed have baptized you with water, but he," the Lord Jesus Christ, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. That happened on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit descended from heaven and indwelled those believers, and the church was born on that day. And so it would appear that what Apollos lacked was an understanding of the truth of the church, an understanding of the truth of the church that was born on the day of Pentecost, the church that would be made up of all of those who trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, the church that Peter described in Acts chapter 11 and verse 17, how that God gave them, the Gentiles, the like gift, the Holy Spirit, as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the message that the apostles were preaching. It was the message that Paul was preaching. It's the message of the New Testament. And the New Testament hadn't even been written yet. It was being given by revelation to the apostles. It was being given by revelation to the apostle Paul. So how was Apollos going to be instructed in this New Testament truth that he needed to know so desperately? He was going to be instructed by two people who had the tent and the tent maker mentality. Apollos was going to be instructed by two people who had spent a year and a half, think about that, a year and a half under the ministry of the apostle to the Gentiles, a year and a half under the ministry of the apostle to the New Testament church. Apollos was going to be taught by Aquila and Priscilla. And I like the wording here. Whom he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them. They listened to this man. And they didn't jump up in the middle of the service and say, "Brother, let me correct a couple of things that you said." No, they listened, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them. You can see the service kind of ending. And here's this couple, and they come up to Apollos and they say, "We want to talk to you. We want to tell you some things. We want to tell you some things that the Lord has taught us and shown us through the Apostle Paul." And so that's what happens in verse 26. They're there where the Lord wants them to be. Not on the exciting trip with the Apostle Paul, but there in Ephesus doing the work of the Lord. We're always looking out there for the Lord's will. We're always looking out there to serve the Lord. We're always looking out there. That's where ministry is. It's where the excitement is. No, the excitement is doing the Lord's will where you are. where you are. And that's what Priscilla and Aquila are doing. Available to the Lord. And look at the result of the obedience of this couple. Look at the result of their tent and tent maker mentality. Look at verse 27. And when he, Apollos, was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. He learned from Aquila and Priscilla. And now he's going to go out, he's going to preach about the grace of God. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, but now he had this New Testament light on the Old Testament scriptures that he got from the Apostle Paul through Aquila and Priscilla, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. And we see in verse 1 of chapter 19 that Apollos is in Corinth. And he had a tremendous impact on the church there, as we'll see, Lord willing. Paul says that Apollos was the one who watered the seed of the Word of God that he had planted there in Corinth. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And the ministry of Apollos was such in Corinth that we read later in the book of Corinthians that Paul greatly desired him to come back there. Now, Apollos couldn't come right away, but he was such a value in his ministry there that the Apostle Paul desired him to come back. And where does the history of the blessing of this man's ministry for the Lord begin? It begins in Ephesus with this husband and wife who were available and obedient to the Lord. But that's not the end of their ministry. Turn over to Romans chapter 16, if you will. Romans chapter 16. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 7, we read that Paul is writing his letter to the Romans, to all that be in Rome, to all that be in Rome. And as we come to the last chapter of this book, he's still writing to those who are in Rome and those who are coming to Rome. Look at chapter 16 and verse 1. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her. She's on her way to Rome. That ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer or an assistant or a helper of many and of myself also. Phoebe's not in Rome. She's coming there. Now look at verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila. They're in Rome. Paul says to all that are in Rome, he's writing to these believers there, and he says, I want you to greet Priscilla and Aquila. It would seem that they're back in Rome now. This couple with the tent and the tent maker attitude of heart have gone from Rome to Corinth, from Corinth to Syria, and on to Ephesus. And now the next time we see them, they're in Rome. And Paul says of Aquila and Priscilla in verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. My helpers in Christ Jesus. Who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Paul calls this couple his helpers in Christ. And he doesn't just leave it at that. He could have. Just, they're my helpers. But he goes on to say in verse 4, one way that this couple has been his helpers in Christ. Notice, who have for my life laid down their own necks. Makes you want to know the details, doesn't it? If you know the Lord, it makes you, when you get to heaven, you want to go find him. And you want to say, hey, can we sit down for a couple of hundred years here and you explained and tell me how you laid down your necks for the Apostle Paul. But keep your place here for just a minute and turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I want to look at something there. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And let's read it, verse 24. Paul's there, here is recounting something of his history, recounting some of the things that happened to him in the Lord's work. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. Now notice verse 26. In journeying often in perils. Perils is not a light word. It's a heavy word. Perils are dangerous. And they can be life-threatening dangers. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers. Robbers kill people. In perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. But Paul's testimony concerning these perils and these persecutions was that out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Now let's go back to Romans 16 and verse 4, because when we kind of bring these two passages together, Romans 16 and verse 4, who have for my life laid down their own necks, and we read about all of these situations in Paul's life in 2 Corinthians 11, 26, it makes you wonder in how many of those perils, in how many of those life-threatening situations did the Lord use Priscilla and Aquila to lay down their own necks as the instruments of the Lord's deliverance of the Apostle Paul, because they had the tent and the tent maker mentality. And were available to do whatever the Lord wanted them to do. And Paul says here in verse 4, unto whom not only I give thanks, I thank them, but also all the churches of the Gentiles thank them. Because they spared the Apostle Paul's life by laying down their own necks, by putting them on their own selves in peril, so that the apostle to the Gentiles could continue his work for the Lord. But that's not all that we see here. Notice verse 5. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Greet the church that is in their house. Aquila and Priscilla have a house in Rome. Oh, so now they've abandoned the tent, right? Wrong. They have a house in Rome, but they haven't lost the tent mentality. They still have it because their house is available for the Lord to use as he will. And he wanted to use it as a church. And so Priscilla and Aquila made it available. You see, the attitude of heart of the tent, the tent attitude of heart, needs to extend not only to ourselves, but to our possessions. To all that we have. That tent attitude of heart toward our possessions is expressed by the church at Jerusalem in Acts chapter 4 and verse 32, where we read, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. That's the mindset of Aquila and Priscilla. Always mentioned together. No mention of any disagreement, no mention of any division in their thinking. And the multitude of them that believe were of one heart and of one soul, Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. That's the tent mentality that Priscilla and Aquila had toward their house. It's not ours. It's the Lord's. And so it's available to the Lord to do with as he pleases. And so there were believers in Rome who needed a place to come together and meet. And so they made their house a church. The next time we see this couple mentioned is in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Let's look at that. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And let's read, first of all, at verse 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 8. Paul says, "But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost." Now, we read this verse because we want to establish Paul's physical location. He's in Ephesus as he's writing to the Corinthians. And as he does at the end of Romans, Paul begins to name some of the people who've been a blessing to him. And some of those people who have been a blessing to him are there with him. Look at verse 19. Paul says, "From Ephesus to the church at Corinth, this message, the churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house." Now, here's Priscilla and Aquila in Ephesus with Paul. And they have the same tent and the same tent maker mentality. They have that same mentality there that they had in Rome. Their house is available to the Lord to be a church if that's what he wants. Not of the things that they possessed did they consider to be their own. And there they are with the Apostle Paul in Ephesus. Now look over at 2 Timothy chapter 4. We want to see the last time that we find them mentioned. 2 Timothy chapter 4. According to those who study the Bible, study the history, Bible scholars and theologians, this is the Apostle Paul's final letter. It's written shortly before his death. And I want us to notice who we find mentioned among the final verses of the final letter of the life of the Apostle Paul. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 19. Paul is asking that Prisca or Priscilla and Aquila be saluted. Salute Prisca and Aquila. Now, we don't know exactly where they are. They may still be in Ephesus. That's where Timothy was when Paul wrote to him. And it may not be where they are in 2 Timothy, but it may very well be. Here are the final inspired words of the Apostle Paul, and the people that are on his mind are this husband and wife. And it's back there, it's back in Corinth, that the Lord brings Paul into what will become this lifelong relationship with Aquila and Priscilla. And you know, it's a blessing to think about that. And it's a blessing to think about it because we can see how it's happened in our own lives as believers. It's a blessing to think how the Lord brings believers together. You ever think about that? How the Lord brings a group of believers like this together. How he brings them across each other's paths for his glory. And for their blessing. and for their good for all their life. I think about in 1965, my daddy being transferred to Aberdeen, North Carolina. Where in the world is Aberdeen, North Carolina? And why do we have to move there? But you know, when my daddy moved up here, he came for a few months so we could finish out the school year. He came up in March and we finished the school year. That was one school year I didn't want to end, because I was going to have to leave my friends and my driver's license and all of the little blessings that I had in South Carolina as a 15-year-old. But when Daddy came up here, he met some amazing people. He met an incredibly godly lady by the name of Bessie Kelly. And through Bessie, he met an incredible young man by the name of Kent Kelly. And that's how I met them. And a little later on, I met Dwight and Lynn and other people. I'm not going to start naming people because I'll leave somebody out. But it's people who the Lord brought across our path, mine and Gail's path. And he brought them there for his glory. He brought them there for our blessing. He brought them there for our good. And they've been here for all our life. What a blessing. People who have the tent mentality. People who have the tent maker mentality. People who are willing for themselves to be available to the Lord, and for their goods and for all that they have to be available to the Lord to use as he will. People who are willing for the Lord and for his people to lay down their own necks in the perils of the spiritual warfare of these last days. People like Priscilla and Aquila, they aren't just here in the Bible. I know some of them, and so do you. And what, as we begin thinking about this book of 1 Corinthians, and we'll bump into them in that book. But I hope the Lord will help us tonight to think about having the tent and the tent maker mentality that Aquila and Priscilla had. It's the way he wants us to live. It's the way he wants to use us. It's the way that he can use us for his glory, and for the glory of his people, for the help of his people. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this couple that really we read so little about here in the Word of God. And yet, we can see what an impact they had in the lives of the people there, in the places where they went. The blessing that they were to the Apostle Paul, the help that they were to Apollos, the help that they were to the believers in Rome and the believers in Ephesus as they opened their house up to have a church there. We pray that we might be those who have the tent and the tent maker mentality for your glory. And we thank you for the people that you have brought across our lives. People who you have put here in this church. It's an amazing place to look and to see that you have woven a tapestry here of different people and different personalities and different abilities, but you've woven them together and you're using them to be a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ here in Southern Pines. We thank you for putting us on this mission field. And we pray that we might be here with an attitude of availability every day to do and to be what you want us to do and what you want us to be. And we pray these things in Jesus' name.